Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in, you guys and gals. Jimmy and I have a great daily editorial planned for this morning. Would like your comments. Comments on the following. Number one, we're going to start out a little bit with the panic that's being caused by the COVID situation. Over the weekend, a number of countries, because of the outbreak in South Africa, a number of countries curtailed flights into and from South Africa. A lot of panic started to take place around the world because they were thinking, oh my God, here it is in a different region. This one could be worse. We don't know if it could be worse, but we're just going to assume the worst is yet to come. I don't like that, Jimmy. I think somebody should come out and say that somebody with a certain amount of authority needs to come out and say, we're going to deal with this as it happens, and we don't believe it's going to be worse. What are your comments, Jim? I know you feel this is just an additional control mechanism, and I agree with you 100%, but why don't you elaborate, bud?
Interestingly enough, as you pointed out, someone did come out and say that there is mild symptoms, related to this new variant. That's the government of Botswana, who first identified the cases in four people. All four were fully vaccinated.
Right.
So they came out and said, hey, don't freak out, basically summarized, don't freak out. The symptoms are very mild, but we found this new variant. Now, what you're seeing is media and political entities hyping this very rapidly. And the perfect example is the governor of New York, who basically pulled a Game of Thrones attack to undermine Andrew Cuomo, who was a bad guy as well, to take over the control of the state, has already put in orders and mandates locked down because of this new variant. So clearly people are using it for political advantage. There is certainly some level of complicity with the media who love the hype because it gets more clicks, it makes more money, but as well as the corporate governance of these media entities and the larger corporations are making a killing over lockdowns and the fact that they, you know, are forcing people into a new world. And I think that somehow has got to stop.
Jimmy, let's talk about how people are making a killing over lockdowns. Elaborate, my man.
So large corporations, let's say Amazon, for instance. Amazon is making, is just killing it because people are afraid. They're at home. They're ordering online.
Right.
The internet companies, Google, people are using those resources more and more. The media industry, people are forced to be at home. They're, just inundating, we're being inundated with different types of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
The global manufacturers are using this opportunity to take away competition, to shut down small business and local manufacturing. Basically, the restrictions are keeping employees from working. They can't produce what they need. Some of the Made in America products that came in, started working through the Trump administration, are forced out because they don't have raw materials because of shipping and because of global control by a lot of these global entities that are not allowing free flow of goods. The last thing I think is labor unions and the Biden regime using this opportunity to strengthen labor unions by allowing the restrictions and then cutting negotiations and deals to get higher wages and strengthening the union, something that they're very concerned about because of the Janus decision where members did not have to contribute, certainly government official members or anybody related to a government entity, were not forced to join unions and pay dues, has had some impact on union membership. So they're trying to prop up union leaders. You've got global corporations that are taking advantage of the situation, large corporations, to shut out competition from small entities. These global competitors, these global entities, they could care less about borders. They could care less about, they want free transfer of capital, and they want no competition. So that's really, I think, the reason why they like the idea of these lockdowns, which put them in a stronger position.
Because it's basically eliminating, in your opinion, competition. I think that's my opinion also. There's no question whatsoever about that. We have a situation with the COVID virus that nobody really knows very much about. The man who supposedly did know everything in the world about this, Anthony Fauci, has been totally, to say, taken apart by both the Dems and the conservatives, and he's probably been taken apart by the conservatives for the correct reasons. So Fauci was a mistake on the part, in my opinion, of former President Trump. I don't think there's any question about that. Jimmy, just let me finish. He's pretty easy to take apart, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I agree. He is easy to take apart, but here's the problem. So Anthony Fauci has been the head of the national NIAID since mid-1980s.
Right.
He was involved in the HIV panic and then the failed response by his organization and the CDC to deal with it for many, many years. So Anthony Fauci was one of these people that was an administrator that the – that's how our government works. These non-elected officials that work back in the administrative state that sit there throughout administrations, but they have political philosophies and shape things. Trump inherited him. He didn't pick him. The biggest mistake he made was allowing him to stay on the as an advisor in spite of the fact of some of the inconsistent statements he was making. Initially talking about, you know, masks don't work because all the data shows masks don't work, but then saying use masks. I think the bigger problem, it wasn't Trump, it was actually Mike Pence, because Mike Pence was the head of the Trump administration COVID response team. And Mike Pence was more concerned. He was basically controlled by the deep state, and he did not see it. So I think he was the biggest mistake here. I think Trump was trying to manage this. And obviously, he came out and publicly said, we cannot make the cure worse than the disease. And he questioned a lot of these things that have turned out to be accurate, that there were therapeutics available. What you see with Fauci is pushing some of these remdesivir, for example, which is still like a treatment that they're using that's failing. And of course, you know, that they're advising from the CDC and the NIAID. So, yeah, Fauci's proven himself to be completely inconsistent. Of course, this weekend on TV shows, he said that he represents the science, and anybody that's questioning him is questioning science. That in itself proves this is not about science, because you always question science. That is what science is about, proving through research, proving through facts, finding changes. If science is static, then it is no longer science. It is then religion. And that's what Fauci and many of these politicians have pushed. A COVID religion, which is taking control of individuals' rights and liberties in order to achieve political ends. And they're using it through fear and intimidation. And the corporations that fund this regime and that are funding these power plays are the ones that are behind it.
I want to get back, Jim, to another thing about COVID that to me is very, very important, and then I want to talk a little bit about another issue that you and I talked about off mic, and that is the real disgrace that, in our opinion, Hunter Biden appears to be. But I want to talk a little bit about the COVID situation first. You have to admit, regardless of whose fault it is, I, by the way, was saying exactly the same thing that you were saying about Trump. When I said Trump, in my opinion, is the word Trump is a very, very, it connotes an awful lot of different things other than just the man. It certainly connotes the administration, and people have to understand that. Pence made a lot of mistakes. There's no credit. There's no question about that. But what I want to say is I still firmly believe, Jim, that this COVID thing is a weapon of war, and it's being used very effectively around the world. The world in many instances was basically shut down over the weekend to a large extent with a curtailment of flights from South Africa, etc., etc. Do you want to tell me that isn't a battle that was won very dramatically by whoever started this thing?
Oh, absolutely. No, I agree. There is an information psychological warfare going on, information warfare, and actual physical, actions being taken through the manipulation of information on this virus. And it's, if you actually understand it and begin to look at this, it's very hard to find the information because the big tech companies and the media are blocking it out. So you're absolutely right. There is an information and psychological warfare operation going on that the world has never seen before.
And unfortunately for you and I and like-minded individuals, it's working very, very effectively. Now, I have to believe, because of my knowledge of Asian mentalities, that this is coming very definitely out of Asia, specifically China. And so far, they're winning. They know that they cannot win a conventional war. Conventional war, in my mind, includes on the ground and certainly nuclear weapons. At this point in time, the Chinese cannot take the world over using those methods. But as our friend from the Epoch Times said a year ago in an interview that we had with him, you watch, they're going to very effectively take over the mindset of the rest of the world. And they have done it, Jimmy, with COVID.
Yeah, well, there's four elements of power that the military use to identify strength and to use for influencing outcomes.
Right.
Called DIME: diplomatic, information, military, and economic. Right. Military, they're growing exponentially. Diplomatically, they've got fingers and things all over, and they are incredibly adept at corrupting politicians.
Mm-hmm.
Information, they dominate the information sphere right now because most of the major corporate media corporations on the globe, certainly the largest ones come from the United States, want into those markets. They're able to manipulate that, and they will do anything to avoid offending a authoritarian dictatorial leadership in the Chinese Communist Party in order to appease them to make more money. And then the most influential aspect of Chinese power right now is economic. They have grown to the point where they have a tremendous influence over everybody's economy because of the trade back and forth. And they've had this just tremendous growth rates over a long period of time. If they continue down this road and the information, the diplomatic, the military power growth, and as we decline, and certainly under the Biden regime, he is undermining confidence with wokeness in the military, requiring these diversity issues, forcing military people out for not getting the vaccination, by putting in these policies, by what he did in Afghanistan, walking away there, failed policies across the board militarily, we could be in serious trouble very rapidly as the Chinese grow in power. And we may not be able to defeat them in a military conflict regionally over Taiwan or somewhere in the area. And based on the circumstances, I'm not sure that this administration would actually commit to defending anybody anymore.
No, I don't think they would. I really don't. But let's talk about something else. I want to push aside, by the way, the discussion we were going to have about Hunter Biden. The reason I want to do that is because it is what it is, and it's not really that time sensitive in my opinion. But what is very time sensitive in my opinion is I want to bring up just a few things that have happened in the United States coincidentally since this whole COVID thing started. Now, number one, let's put a time frame on COVID. 2 years, is that okay?
Well, roughly 2 years when it right. started to show up in China.
Right.
At least the propaganda campaign began to show
right.
up in
right.
China in December.
Right.
December, January timeframe is
right.
when all the fear began.
Okay.
The fear
okay.
Point,
so,
yes.
okay. So you're good with a couple of years. What's
yeah.
happened to our educational system, Jim, in the last couple of years in terms of critical race theory, in terms of sexual aspects of life being discussed at a very, very early age for kids? What's happened there in the last couple of years It has.
We've seen a massive expansion of those actions.
It has skyrocketed. So first you got COVID, then you got a big foot in our educational system. Okay, then let's talk a little bit about what's happened in the last 2 years in terms of strictly lockdowns. So you want to say that what happened this weekend with the airline flights out of South Africa wasn't a major lockdown? That's also happened. We have three things, Jim, that have happened in the last couple of, and all we need is about two more, and you know what? We've lost. Think about what I just said.
Well, yeah, and I want to add another one. Don't forget the BLM riots and the Antifa growth, the exponential growth in Antifa. Yeah, and you know, it was not random. Unfortunately, Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, is completely either ignorant or complicit in ignoring the reality of organized efforts to destabilize local and state governments through Antifa action and BLM. And of course, the Department of Justice is now facilitating that under Merrick Garland. And that created tremendous pain, massive damage, undermining, but it intimidated people. It silenced people.
But it is slowly, slowly going in the other direction. Let me give you an example. And when I say slowly, I mean very, very slowly. Very, very important editorial in the Seattle Times yesterday, Sunday. And it had to do with Project Veritas. The Seattle Times came out and basically said that what happened with the FBI, et cetera, involving Project Veritas was not something that was bad, but was absolutely terrible. They said the federal government cannot do that. Seattle Times is a pretty liberal newspaper, and this article and this article came out in black and white and said what the federal government did involving Project Veritas was unconscionable.
Well, and it was, absolutely. It was intimidation. It was using law enforcement to achieve a political end in order to protect what is factually known now as a corrupt and criminal action by the President of the United States' son. So, or daughter, I'm sorry. Well, what we know they're doing, supporting both in this case, with both Hunter Biden and Ashley Biden. So these are very serious charges. Here's the way I take this.
We're slowly taking a step in the opposite direction is what I'm trying to say. Slowly.
Yeah, no, I see the pushbacks coming. But here's why people like the Seattle Times, why eventually the New York Times and the Washington Post are going to start to turn. In my view, it's because they realize the left has gone so far. They've overplayed their hand. It's not that they don't support it, but what they fear is a swing back and a tremendous backlash in this 2022 election with the Senate and the House going back to Republicans and then a 2024 victory. They fear that. So they're walking that fine line to get back onto good graces so they don't face the same type of thing. Because depending on who's in charge, if you continue these actions.
The Seattle Times fears that because look what happened with the election results in Seattle. The conservatives in the latest election made a very, very strong stance. And I applaud them for doing that. I applaud the citizens of Seattle for doing that, Jim.
Yeah, and I think sophisticated leftists see this coming, and they're trying to balance themselves. Like I say, if Merrick Garland can go after somebody to protect the interests of family members in the regime, then the next administration can do the same, but actually use justifiable cause to go into some of these things that have facilitated the violence and that have supported some of these lies, like the Kyle Rittenhouse lies in some of those areas, and maybe charge some of these, editors for withholding information or from facilitating violence under some angle of the law. And they don't want to see that happen. And that's the problem is if you get the backlash, you might face that. And I think sophisticated leftists are beginning, or at least liberals in the traditional sense are beginning to understand that they've gone too far, that some of these people have gone too far.
Well, so far it would appear that way. We're going to take a break right now, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe come back later on this afternoon. Been going over 20 minutes. Let's get some comments. Jimmy, thank you so much.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.